All right, always love having this guy. That's right, the Association of Municipal Employees, folks, the largest independent union in the state of New York. And when you think about the representation in our region here, Suffolk County government workers, you know, you got so much going on here. It could be fire rescue, medical examiners, off the top of my head, labor department, social services, you name it, all that of representation of this wonderful union. 6,000 active, over 4,000 retired Suffolk County workers, give or take, on those numbers. And the aforementioned president, his name is Dan Leveler. Always great to have him. Sir, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am doing well, my friend, doing well. How's the summer been going for you?
It's been a busy time, but it's not bad so far. Not bad.
We still have a final weekend to go, right? We're going to savor every moment of it. So, we know the island has gorgeous Septembers. Octobers, you know, you get a little change, you get a little breeze, a little chill. And then we get ready for the real seasons, right? Thanksgiving, all that stuff. So all is good stuff. Hey, you know, I was thinking of you last weekend, obviously 9/11 and everything else, and the great work that so many people do as far as the operators are concerned and everything else. But, you know, I think about the signing and the legislation that really making some history, right? Because you got the operators for the first time. You and I have spoken about this before, Dan. Being recognized as first responders. A long time of coming here, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and lots of conversations had, lots of work went into this. But at the end of the day, really, like, the main question I asked of the elected up in Albany to try and get this legislation, you know, written and placed out in the world. You know, like, we worked with a bunch of partners up there. There's many unions across the state that represent folks that do this job, this difficult and stressful job. But the big question I asked, and I said, you know, don't ask me for the answer. Go to someone in your personal life and ask this question. When you have an emergency and you dial those three numbers, someone picks up the phone, do you think that that person is a first responder? And all across the board, everybody came back with the same answer. And that's really how, you know, this bill came through the Assembly and the Senate with entirely unanimous votes. Both sides of the aisle, all voting yes, no abstentions, no registered no votes, straight through. And you know, I think the timing on the signing of the bill was very good symbolism. Because when we think about these emergency situations, I mean, these folks literally only deal with emergency situations. It's not calls like the ones you and I have with each other. It's dire news all day, every day. And when major tragedies occur, whether it's in someone's individual life or, you know, for 9/11, for this country, the first line of response is going to be these operators and these dispatchers. So having them recognized as first responders, really, you know, it's a long time coming. It probably should have always been. But on top of that, you should have the ability now to, with the designation of first responders, pull from federal grant money. When first responders grant money comes in the federal government, you've increased population, thereby reducing your local tax burden, and seeing these folks have access to the kind of mental care that's necessary to be in a job like this. I think that's going to be a real positive.
Look at, you know, my good pal over there, State Senator John Brooks, you know, who introduced this piece of legislation. And, you know, we always talk about common sense, right? And, you know, I think I read you have about 300, Dan, I think it's right, where you have these 9/11 operators and dispatchers involved within the confines of the union. But really, when you think about it, you bring up an excellent point, because they are the first in line to relay that. You know, it's like playing the game of telephone. Right? Remember the game of telephone we used to play as kids? And it's about, you know, that first connect, you know, to pass on the message. That's what these folks are. And it's more about, you know, to me, a lot of it has to do with the counseling, because you got to be quick thinkers. There's no question. You have to be very quick in your feet. Not everybody's cut out for this type of job, folks. Let's remember that. But quick thinking, you got to counsel when needed, lots of guidance, and it could make a difference of critical nature here, of life and death, before help actually arrives on the scene. I mean, listen, we have all been in those situations, right, over our span, in which we make the call and we talk to that individual and we are clinging to dear life, that we relay the message properly to these people so that they can get the necessary help. We only hope in a state of panic that we're able to do that. And that's why, you know, it's a job not fit for everybody, but you got to be a very special person, I think, right there?
Sure, sure. And, you know, on top of, you know, being on the other end of the phone and talking things through with people and asking those critical questions to get services out to a physical location, they're also working at the same time, right? So they're not just talking on the phone. There's setups that these folks have to master, multiple mouses, multiple keyboards, multiple screens, and the whole time they're talking this critical situation through with someone and taking in data, they're feeding that into a system. And they're, you know, doing all of the necessary decision making at the same time they're having the conversation. So, you know, I was talking to some of our folks recently, and they said, you know, one thing that happens sometimes in emergency calls is people will get frustrated and say, why are you asking me so many questions? Why aren't you just sending someone here? And the fact of the matter is they're doing that. And they're also getting all those critical questions answered so that you got the best possible response and the most information available to immediately respond. So it's more than taking the call. It's working a complicated multi-computer setup with multiple monitors and mice and whatever else, and running all of this stuff through the system. It's not an easy task.
It's never an easy task, and that's going to be a monumental piece of legislation, folks, in plan. That's signed tomorrow, correct, at Javits, Dan? Is that happening tomorrow?
That was signed on 9/11 by the governor.
So it was last week. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well needed. Really was. Well needed. Took too long. And you always wonder, why does some of these common sense things take way too long? I don't know. Can't figure that one out. But, you know, there's always a tug of war when it comes to this type of stuff. Yeah. Dan Leveler, president of AMA. All right, let's get to another round of news, and that is the Suffolk County budget, right? That is going to be in play. It'll come out tomorrow, I think it is. Talk to me a little bit about the union's policies involved, the confines of the budget. What are you thinking here?
Well, we talk about this every year around this time, Jay. And this year I think is, you know, maybe a little different, in that all of the players, people that had to put together the budget, people that have to review the budget, people that have to make alterations to the budget and ultimately get things passed through, they've all been, for years now, 10 plus years, experts in budgets where there just wasn't enough money. And this year is different. This year is different. The ability to get certain things done, I think we're going to see that and insist on that for this budget cycle. So, you know, our priorities, obviously, when this fiscal stress, austerity doesn't just happen to the public. It happens inside of government, too. And decisions were made along the way to prioritize certain initiatives over others. So maybe less of the grass got cut in order to pare down expenses to keep people on the payroll. But we're looking for a shift in this new budget We're looking to see that workforce in general sees an uptick in the support that they need. And we've had some conversations with folks already to say, hey, listen, anywhere where you're seeing overtime costs exceed the cost of a new employee, it's common sense. You're burning out a worker that really, really, you know, they should have the support there. And the support should be more coworkers to help get the job done. But this, I think there's an important aspect of this budget as well, which is we should have learned from the mistakes of the past, right? And so if we take every dollar that's not nailed down and just start spending it on random things, right? The next time there's a crisis, and we don't know what the next crisis is going to be. Maybe it's going to be a weather emergency. Maybe it's going to be, you know, I don't know, stock market correction. You know, any of those things that happen that cause that volatility and upheaval, there should be reserve funds in place to help the county transition through those times so we don't have to fall back into austerity, right? The last thing we want is when the next crisis hits to fall right back to where we were, you know, where we were 10 years ago. That's, I don't think, helps the, you know, when the services fall off, it doesn't help the workers that provide the services, and it doesn't help the people that paid for the services to receive them. We talked, you know, this morning about some critical functions inside of Suffolk County government where, you know what, we need staff. There needs to be people there to answer that phone in a crisis. And so those are the things that we're looking at, increasing our ability to provide services in a fiscally responsible way, and getting, you know, I guess when we talk about the term right-sizing government, sometimes that can be used as an excuse to reduce the size of government, almost implying there were too many people. But anywhere where you see overtime costs exceeding the cost of a new employee, that to me is right-sizing government. You've got to pare down those expenses and bring people on, provide more services at the same rate. That's good governance. And lastly, you know, Jay, kind of an odd point here, but from my perspective, we had reached out to the legislature during the year, just giving them kind of a blanket position. As we knew, some of the revenues were coming in, federal money came in, the whole nine, and we wanted everyone to know our base position was any legislation you put into effect that circumvents the budget process and basically says in future years the county must pay for X, that's taking money out of the budget, outside of the budget process. And we were opposed to that as a concept. And now we're going to be keeping a close eye on any attempt to kind of spend down the money in a way that's not looking at future responsibilities, we're going to be all over. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's a future attack on our members and their ability to provide services. There needs to be that reserve in order to stabilize the government's ability to be there the next time there's a crisis.
No question. And, you know, I remember reading about this budget. Final thought for me on this, Dan, because, you know, I always remember the county exec, he was kind of able to avert, I think it was $70 million or so, in some of the planned county spending cuts. But then, you know, you get help with what Congress did, and I'm talking about the American Rescue Plan. You know, you go back, folks, about 8 months, a little less, 6 months, let's say. And what does it do? It provides Suffolk County with, what, $280 million in aid through next year. That helps. That helps in a big way. And, you know, listen, with budgets and the surpluses that the county hopes to get here, but, you know, you hope you have the sales tax revenues because they are vital as far as what it means to one's budget, because that's what you project, you know. So we've been off a little bit with that, obviously, because of the pandemic and whatnot. But that category, you hope you will see a little bit of positive nature to it. But, you know, it's one of those years in which, you know, you've gotten help from the government. Everybody has. And that is into the equation. And that helps everybody, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm seeing, you know, and I track patterns all over the place. It's just part of what I need to do to be on top of the conversations I'm going to have. But I see smart plans, you know, on the federal level. We'll see what they end up doing infrastructure-wise. On the state level, there are a number of things planned. And then in county government, there are good plans in place to get certain work done. And we've talked about this before, but the idea of public works, and not public works as in DPW, but public workers providing services to the residents. That concept was created in a down economy to put people to work, to invest in the workforce, thereby taking people off of, you know, I guess the waiting line, so to speak, putting them to work and providing gainful employment for themselves and their family, which they then dump back into their communities through, you know, goods and services and whatever else. So the fact of the matter is, if we keep people working and are accomplishing good things for the residents, we're gonna keep seeing that money kind of kick around. And that's the kind of stimulus I think we need when we talk about recovering from this pandemic on the fiscal side. We need to see people working. We need to see government planning to do the things necessary to, one, get out of the financial mess, so to speak. You know, these one-shots that really helped this year in bringing in revenue bridge the gap. But they're not coming forever all the time. And that's why I say, you know, we have to plan smart on this budget to say some of that money needs to be reserved to bridge the future gap. Land this county in a place where it can remain fiscally stable. We don't want to find ourselves in future years trying to sit down and have conversation county that's broke again. We want this new problem of we have enough money to do the things that need to be done. You know, like I say, we've all kind of gotten to be experts at bad budgets. I'm looking for and advocating for a good budget this cycle.
As you know, they likely will not recur. So, you know, that's something to kind of keep in mind here, folks, regarding the numbers. So we await that and everything else. Anything on the calendar we need to know? As far as union business and everything else, anything coming up that we need to tell the folks about?
No, again, we're still planning for certain things a little later in the year, but do have that wait and see approach. The idea that certain in person opportunities will be there, it's a hope. It's not a guarantee, right? And we're seeing, you know, even right now, the numbers are kind of flipping around a little bit. You know, we've seen this ebb and flow before. I hope the pattern doesn't hold from what we've seen previously, and we could bring the numbers down quickly again. But in terms of, you know, our normal calendar of getting people together and meeting with them and having our events, that's still a wait-and-see approach.
By ear, no question, with all that's out there. And, of course, Dan does a phenomenal show. And, listen, we talk about it all the time. Suffolk Matters Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock, right here on LI News Radio. Does a great show. Goes one-on-one with the movers and shakers of the county and gives you an incredible perspective. He's done such a great job. I talk to him all the time about it. He's a little humble in nature, the president here. But it is duly noted of the job that you do with this stuff. Suffolk Matters, 8 o'clock, right? And you're still enjoying it. Sounds like you enjoy it. You really do.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, I got my, quote-unquote, sea legs right here, Jay. Being able to work with you to help get the messages that we needed out in the world done in a comfortable way that, you know, produced the product we were happy with, that all started here. So, you know, again, every time, I got to thank you. Additionally, this coming Sunday, some of what we talked about today, I'm hoping to get into a little bit more of in talking with the presiding officer of the legislature, Rob Colarco. And I'm going to want to sit down and kind of get a feel for what their priorities are, what he's seeing, what he's thinking. And hopefully by that time, budget will be enough in everyone's hands. We'll have some, you know, informed conversations about where things need to go and, you know, what was done right, what needs to be looked at, and whatever else. So we're going to keep that conversation going.
You know, just to kind of put things in perspective, down the road, you know, another electoral season, hard to believe, is upon us. We are now within the 7-week mark as far as the election day and a lot of legislators and everything else. You and I will be talking about that in weeks to come.
Absolutely.
Man, I'll tell you, it just goes so fast. I always say right at the Labor Day, you know, that's when it really begins, you know. But a lot of very important positions up for grabs. You and I will be talking about that as well. Good stuff, my friend. Good stuff. 8 o'clock, Rob Colarco. We look forward to that. I'll be tuning in for that one. I try and not miss an episode, by the way. Usually it gets sent to me, so I hear them all, but I'd like to hear that one as I am eating my French toast, hopefully, on Sunday mornings at around 8 o'clock. Always a good listen. It really is. Suffolk Matters, folks. 8 o'clock, Sunday mornings, right here on LI News Radio. The fine president, Mr. Dan Levler. We're talking about Association Municipal Employees. Does a great job in leading the pack, 10,000 strong. Retired, active, you name it. They're there. Dan is there for them. Sir, have a great weekend coming up, all right?
Thank you, Jay. You as well.